Let's turn then to Acts chapter 26 and to the story of King Agrippa. And we've been thinking over these three Sunday mornings about the three last characters in the book of Acts. We've gone right through the book. We've picked out the great stories, the stories of conversions, stories of miracles, the stories that encourage us, the stories that challenge us to follow in their footsteps. But at the end of Acts, we've got the warning stories. We've got three powerful men, three men in positions of authority that have interviews with the Apostle Paul. And each one of them, as far as we know, never came to faith in Jesus Christ. And therefore, they are eternally lost. That's where that hymn ended that we just sang, doesn't it? Almost, but lost. And they're given to us as warnings. They're here to remind us that that could be how it is with us if we are not diligent, if we are not careful, if we don't hear what God says to us through his word. We saw Felix, didn't we, a few weeks ago. And we saw how he kept putting it off. When there's a more convenient time, I'll hear. And that convenient time never came. Last week, we looked at Festus, didn't we? We saw how Festus hears the Apostle Paul, and he just comes to the conclusion that Paul is mad. Paul, you are mad. Much learning is driving you mad. You're beside yourself. And we saw how unreasonable he was in the light of the reason that Paul is preaching. And today we're looking at Agrippa. And the text, if you like, is verses 27 and 28. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Now, if you've got a different translation of the Bible in front of you this morning, what Agrippa says might be slightly different. The trouble with the Greek language, well, there's lots of problems with the Greek language if you've tried to study it, biblical Greek. But one of the problems is the Greek language doesn't have question marks, doesn't have exclamation marks. In English, if we write a sentence with a question mark in, we know that it's a question, and we'd read it knowing that it's a question. If there's an exclamation mark, we know that somebody's exclaiming something. It's an outburst. We don't get those in Greek. And so we have to work our way around, perhaps looking at the context, whether this is a statement or whether it's an exclamation or whether it's a question. And different translations opt for different things. It could be, as it is in the Authorized Version and in this version, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. It could be that Agrippa is saying, Paul, are you almost trying to persuade me to be a Christian? It could be a question that he's asking. What Paul says in reply seems to be more like an answer to a question. So maybe it is a question. Maybe it's an exclamation. It's almost as if you're trying to persuade me to become a Christian, Agrippa might be saying. In one sense, it doesn't really matter. The problem with Agrippa is he's only ever almost a Christian. He gets to the stage where he's considering it. He's getting to the stage where he realizes he needs to become a Christian. He gets to the stage where he's almost there, but all the evidence suggests he never crossed the line. He never made the commitment, never made the leap of faith, never came into a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, why is that? Maybe there's somebody here this morning who's in exactly the same position. You've heard the gospel many times. It's been impressed upon you time and time again that you need to become a Christian. The fact that you're here in church this morning when you could be thousands of other places means, in a sense, you're almost there. But Agrippa's a warning that we can almost be there and not be there itself. So let's ask two questions about Agrippa today. First of all, why was it that he was almost there? And then secondly, why was it that he was only almost there? See the difference? How was it that he got close, but then why did he not become a Christian? So first of all, how is it that he almost got close? Well, I think we can say four things. I think there are four good things that happen here, which we can see bring Agrippa to that place where he nearly becomes a Christian. So the first thing is that Paul is preaching the word of God to him. You notice he appoints him to the law and the prophets. And in his defense, Paul has said, the things that the Jews are accusing me of are the things that I do because I believe the law and the prophets. We believe the same things. We've seen how he did that with Felix, how he did it with Festus, how he does it with Agrippa, how he does it right throughout his ministry. Paul is a preacher of the gospel. Paul is a preacher of the word of God. And as he stands before Agrippa, he is telling him the words of God. And he starts with the law and the prophets. You see, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The church has to preach the word of God. The church should not preach anything else except the word of God. Preachers, apostles in the Bible, evangelists, whenever people stand in pulpits, it's the word of God that needs to be proclaimed. That's one of the reasons why we're seeing so few people becoming Christians in our land, is that the church has lost confidence in the word of God and has stopped preaching the word of God. Well, Paul is preaching the word of God. And so we might expect, as the word of God is proclaimed, and as God's Spirit works through that word, people will become Christians. That's what happens. That's probably how you became a Christian, if you're a Christian here this morning. You heard the word of God, and the word of God came with the power and the authority of heaven, and you responded to the preaching of the word of God. What else would we say? Well, Paul preaches Jesus to him, doesn't he? So in these days, the word of God was the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written. But Paul preaches to him about Jesus, doesn't he? So in verse 22 and 23 of Acts 26, therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead. We saw last week how that seems to be the thing that makes Festus burst out about Paul's sanity. Paul is preaching Jesus. You see, we need to preach Jesus. And when we preach Jesus, people will become Christians. Agrippa hears about Jesus, Jesus living, Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus rising from the dead. The job of the church, the job of the preacher, is to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified and him risen again from the dead. And Paul is doing that. And so we can understand how Agrippa is getting closer to becoming a Christian, because Christ is being preached. And then, of course, there's a third reason why we would say Agrippa must be getting closer. Third reason we can understand why. That's because Paul has told his testimony, hasn't he? We spoke last week, didn't we, about the importance of having a story and the importance of sharing that story. It was a lovely time on Wednesday afternoon in the Bible study when we meet together and we talk about Sunday morning. You really should come if you don't come. But it was lovely on Wednesday. People were talking about how they've shared their story with people. And sometimes people come to faith through hearing somebody else's story. And most of Acts chapter 26 is about the Apostle Paul telling his story, doesn't he? Tells his story, how he became a Christian. That wonderful moment when he's on the road to Damascus and he hears that voice from heaven and he sees that light brighter than the sun. And he's convicted of his sin, isn't he? How he's been kicking against the goads, how he's been persecuting the Lord Jesus Christ, and how his life was transformed, and that's why he's where he is now. And this wonderful story of his conversion experience. Agrippa hears that story, and none of these things have been done in a corner, the Apostle Paul says there, doesn't he, in verse 26. All of these things are the matter of public record, if you like. And Agrippa hears this compelling testimony, and so it brings him closer to making that commitment himself. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Maybe you've got Christian friends, and they tell you that they're a Christian. And actually, in one sense, they don't need to tell you because you can see it in their lives, how different their lives are, how they face the difficulties of life in a different way, how the challenges that they come across and they meet from day to day are different. But they tell you about how they became a Christian. And as you hear that story, you think, well, yes, that's a great story. And I can see the change in that person's life. That should be what happens. It's a shame if it doesn't. But here is this wonderful testimony. And we should hear those testimonies. And Agrippa hears Paul's testimony. And you can see that he's challenged and he's beginning to think. And there's this almost, isn't there? And then we'd see a fourth thing that makes him almost persuaded to become a Christian. And that is that Paul actually challenges him directly, doesn't he? That's interesting to see. Remember, Agrippa is the king. Well, he's the king of sorts. He's the grandson of King Herod. And slowly, the power of the king has been diminished as the Romans have got more and more of a foothold in Israel. But he's still a position of authority. And the Apostle Paul stands before him, and you can almost see him pointing his finger at Agrippa, doesn't he? He challenges Agrippa to make a commitment to Jesus. And Agrippa's grasped that, hasn't he? Verse 27. Now, King Agrippa, he says, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. I know that you believe. In a sense, Paul has nothing more to say to Festus when Festus says, you're beside yourself, you're mad. But he looks at Agrippa and he can see the whites of Agrippa's eyes. And he can see that Agrippa does believe those things. Agrippa's the Jew. He's got the Jewish background. Well, perhaps not a Jew, but certainly had the Jewish background. And he says to him, I know that you believe these things. In a sense, I know that you're, as it were, halfway there. And he challenges Agrippa. And you see, the gospel is a challenging gospel. I'm preaching this morning, and I'm trying to do lots of things, trying to explain the text, trying to open up the text so that we all understand it. I'm trying to apply the text. This isn't a dry, dusty book from 2,000 years ago. This is the living word of God. And we need it. You need it, and I need it. We need to hear it. We need to believe it. We need to understand it. But the job of the preacher is also to challenge you. And I'm challenging you this morning, challenging you as an individual, sat where you are this morning. Do you believe these things? What are you going to do with these things? Maybe you've had a Christian friend who's challenged you and has spoken to you about these things. You see, these things are important. These things are crucial. These things are of eternal significance. There is nothing more important in your life than what you do with this message. There is no more important question, no more important challenge, no more important enigma in your life, no more important imponderable, as it were, than what you do with this message. Because this is about eternity. This is about heaven and hell. This is about life and death. This is about being in the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of darkness. And you see, Paul, he has Agrippa before and he challenges him personally. Now, all of those four things sort of brought him close. Maybe that's where you are this morning. You've come here Sunday by Sunday, maybe for many years, and you've heard the law and the prophets read and proclaimed. You've heard about the life and the ministry and the death and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. You've got Christian friends who give you their testimony. But what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with this message? Agrippa was almost there. Maybe you're almost here. But then that takes us on to the second big question of this passage, doesn't it? So why was he only almost? Why did he never make that leap, that step of faith? And there's nothing in the Bible to suggest that he did. Agrippa's somebody that we know about, not just from the Bible, so we can read Jewish historians and Roman historians, and they'll talk about Agrippa as well. So these are real people. You don't have to worry about that. It's not make-believe. This is not parable or fable. He was a true man. And so we can read about Agrippa elsewhere, and everything that we read about Agrippa elsewhere suggests that he never became a Christian. So he was only ever almost. So why was that? Well, again, let me suggest four reasons why I think that might be the case. Actually, they may be the four reasons why you've never become a Christian. You might have that in common with Agrippa. So let's listen to them. What were those four things? Well, the first is that to become a Christian, we have to humble ourselves. And you know, sometimes the higher we are in the pecking order in this world, the harder it is for us to humble ourselves. You see, we have to do that. Jesus said when he was on earth, didn't he? Unless we humble ourselves and become as little children, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And King Agrippa is going to have to humble himself. You see, everything that we read in this passage reminds us that this is this occasion is one of pomp, in a sense, isn't it? He is there. Bernice is there. We'll say something about her in a minute. Festus is there. All of the people in authority are there. And Agrippa, if he's going to become a Christian, is going to have to humble himself. He's going to have to admit that he's a sinner. He's going to have to admit that there's another Lord, that he's not in charge of his life. Maybe that's what's stopping you becoming a Christian. You're not willing to submit yourself to the lordship of somebody else. Perhaps Agrippa was like that because he's a king. And the Bible says, isn't it, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes the more we have in this world, the more there is to hold us back from devoting ourselves to Jesus Christ. Maybe that was how it was with Agrippa. What else could be true? Well, the next thing that could be true is the effect of the people round and about him. He is there. And Festus is there. What's Festus going to think if he becomes a Christian? Festus has already decided that Paul is mad, that he's beside himself. Too much learning, all work and no play. Paul's mad. If Agrippa becomes a Christian, what's Festus going to think? What's Bernice going to think? What are all these people who are serving him, all these people who are in government, all of these people who are in power, what are they going to think if he becomes a Christian? Maybe that's what's stopping you becoming a Christian. Because you've got mates. And if you tell them tomorrow that you've become a Christian, you're going to get laughed at. And there's no two ways about it. You will get laughed at. You will get mocked. Maybe the fact that you come to church Sunday by Sunday is something you try to keep under wraps. Because if other people knew that that's what you did, you know, they'd pull your leg no end, and much worse, perhaps. To become a Christian for Agrippa would be a big thing in front of all of his friends. How awful it is if that's the thing that stops us having eternal life. The worry about what our friends might think, what our friends, what our neighbors, what our family might think. Maybe that's why Agrippa was only ever almost a Christian. And then there's perhaps a third thing which might have kept him from making that step of faith. And that was, he knew there were things in his life that he'd have to give up if he became a Christian. There were sins that he would have to turn away from. Now, it's interesting that Agrippa is here with Bernice. We don't know a lot about Bernice from the scriptures, but we do know a fair bit about Agrippa and Bernice from outside of the scriptures as well. And that is that Bernice wasn't his wife, it was his sister. But they were living in an incestuous relationship, and that was well known. And so before him today, before Paul, is Agrippa with Bernice. And it's interesting that Bernice gets a mention, doesn't she? Back in chapter 25 and verse 13, when Agrippa is first introduced to us, he's introduced to us with Bernice. After 7 days, King Agrippa and Bernice came to Caesarea to greet Festus. And here, as we get to the end of Agrippa's story, she gets another mention, doesn't she? Verse 30, when he had said these things, the king stood up as well as the governor and Bernice. See, they were two who came together. Where Agrippa was, Bernice was. But there was something wicked about their relationship, something outside of God's command about their relationship. And as far as we know, Paul never challenged that. There were bigger things to challenge him about. But of course, when the message of the gospel comes to us, it's a challenge to repent and to believe. If we're going to become a Christian, we have to turn from our sins. And there's a big sin here. There were probably many sins, as there are with all of us. But we can't become a Christian unless we turn from our sin. And that means there are certain areas of our lives that just have to change. Because when they come under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy One, our lives have to be transformed. And God transforms us by his grace, but we have to repent and we have to turn. And maybe Agrippa, as Paul looked him in the eye and challenged him about what he was saying, Bernice is next to him and he's not willing to give up that relationship. And perhaps that's how it is with some of you here today who have not become Christians yet. You've heard the gospel. You know the challenge. You know what God commands. You know what the scriptures say. Maybe that's too much. Maybe there are things you are not willing to give up. If so, you're like Agrippa. Let me suggest a fourth reason why he never made the step. And that is because he has to liken himself to the man who's in chains in front of him. You notice what Paul replies to him. It's very interesting, isn't it? You almost persuade me to become a Christian, or perhaps, are you seriously trying to persuade me to become a Christian? Well, whichever way Agrippa says it, Paul says, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. You see, Paul says, listen, Agrippa, I know you're the king, but I just wish you were like me. I wish you were like me in every way. I wish you were altogether saved like I am in every way, except for these chains. I don't wish these chains on you. But you see, there's a challenge there, isn't there, for Agrippa? You see, here's a man standing in front of him who's in chains. And if Agrippa becomes a Christian, he might end up in chains. Of course, Jesus never hid that from us. He tells us again and again while he's here upon earth. And if we become Christians, we can expect the world to hate us. There'll be times when we'll have to suffer and even die for him. We've thought this morning, haven't we, about Myanmar. We've thought about 50 countries in the world today where to be a Christian brings persecution. It brings chains. It might even bring martyrdom. There have been times in the history of this land where to be a Christian and to preach Jesus Christ and him crucified has had preachers in prison. And that's happened in the past, and there's no guarantee that it won't happen in the future. And as we look at our lands more and more, I think the chances of that happening are growing year by year, that the day will come when to preach Jesus Christ as the only way to God, to preach that certain parts of our society are riddled with sin, and certain actions and certain things that we believe are sinful, to preach that will get us into trouble. I've got no doubt that that's going to happen before long. And you see, when Jesus calls us to follow him, he doesn't put it in the small print so that you miss it. He's not some con artist. He's not some shyster. He's not some person who's trying to dupe you into becoming a Christian. He tells you, if you live godly lives, you will suffer persecution. And as Paul stands before Agrippa, Agrippa can see. that to become a Christian is going to be a costly business. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. You won't become a Christian for those reasons. But you see, the question then is, what are you going to lose if you don't become a Christian? See, the good news of the gospel, the wonderful words of life that we began the service with, remind us that in Jesus there is eternal life. Outside of Jesus, we are lost. In Jesus, there is heaven. Outside of Jesus, there is hell. Inside of Jesus, believing in Jesus means we have peace with God, and on the day of judgment, we'll be able to stand before him knowing our sins are forgiven. Outside of Jesus, there is no such hope. Inside of Jesus, when we put our trust in him, we're part of his great universal family all across the world. Yes, a suffering family, a beleaguered family, a family that endures the scorn of so many in this world, but a family that God owns for himself. How awful it would be if on that day of judgment you're still only almost a Christian. Imagine tonight your house burns down and the fire brigade almost only save you. Almost is not enough, is it? If your house burns down, you want to make sure the fire brigade save you. Imagine you'd been on the Titanic in 1912. And you'd almost got into the rescue boats, the lifeboats. Almost is not enough, is it? Don't be almost a Christian. Become a Christian today. You can do it today. You can do it even in this moment. You can cry out in your heart to God and ask him for salvation. You can do it as we sing our closing hymn. We're going to sing about salvation. We're going to sing 874. And as we're singing it, why don't you ask God? Ask him through Jesus, through his shed blood on the cross, to save you from your sins. He's promised, the one who comes to me, I'll never cast out. Let's sing 800.